The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
According to our friend John Solomon and a new report tonight just out, and he will join us in just a moment, a Democrat whistleblower repeatedly was warning the FBI beginning in 2017 that the congenital liar Adam Schiff had authorized leaking classified information to smear President Trump, which, by the way, could be a violation of the Espionage Act.
Listen, this whistleblower literally sat in a meeting, he says, he tells the FBI, where Adam Schiff authorized the leaking of classified secrets to dirty up Donald Trump and to try to build towards either a select committee in Congress or a special prosecutor. This whistleblower was a career intelligence officer. He had worked for the House Intelligence Committee, Democrat staff, for a dozen years when he came forward to to the FBI. He gave four interviews. He gave very specific information to the FBI. And nothing happened. Why? Because the Justice Department simply decided to take a pass. How many times have we sat around in the last decade and heard, we're going to get to the bottom of that classified leak, and then a few months later, we couldn't get to the bottom of that classified leak. In the case of Adam Schiff, they got to the bottom of some classified leaks, but the Justice Department chose not to act. So tonight, past attorney generals, people like Merrick Garland and Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, who was acting on Russiagate, they've got some serious questions answered.
My question, wasn't it a hearsay, so-called whistleblower that led to the entire Ukrainian impeachment? Just refreshing my memory.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it turns out that what he described in the call wasn't actually an accurate description of what happened. In this case, eyewitness in the room with Adam Schiff, able to deliver to the FBI. The good news is that Akash Patel has gotten these documents to Congress. By the way, this is the first of several major leak investigations we're going to see over the next several days. You're going to see other major people that were clearly identified by the FBI as having leaked classified secrets. Their own staff turned them in when interviewed by the FBI. Nothing again happened. It's a common pattern. The question now is, in Donald Trump's Justice Department, does that dynamic change?
Well, I think it's good to have proof from a whistleblower who was there in the room in a meeting when Adam Schiff was authorizing his staff to leak this classified material, which is illegal. I mean, it was 2017, the statute of limitations have expired. But this whistleblower was a Democrat. He was a career intelligence official, a very plausible person, and he was so disturbed about the illegal leaking that Schiff and also Eric Swalwell, his little minion, were engaging in, that he went to the FBI not once but four times, including, I mean, 2017 was the first time he went. This is under Jeff Sessions, Rod Rosenstein.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Trump people.
Trump
right,
people.
I forgot about that.
So why was the Trump FBI and the Trump DOJ running dead on what was, you know, a perfect way of getting a leaker? There were a lot of leakers in Trump's first term. You remember his calls to Mexico, his calls to Australia were leaked. There were some mole hunts within the administration that came to nothing. And yet here they were, the Trump DOJ, the Trump FBI, they had Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell called. They had a willing and a very honorable whistleblower, and he was determined to tell the truth. Eventually, he was let go by the House Intelligence Committee, the Democrats there, for being insufficiently loyal to the party, which is pretty outrageous.
Why didn't Jeff Sessions move on that?
You've got deep staters who are embedded in there. They gain the trust of the political appointees who don't really know how the system works, and they just snow them and they cover up. And we saw that with so much. I mean, the Hunter Biden laptop investigation was a perfect example that went on for 5 years, obfuscating and so on. But this was the Trump DOJ that refused to grab an opportunity right in front of them.
Is there any way, did the statute of limitations prevent any prosecution of, let's say, Senator Schiff right now?
Well, interestingly, there are other problems that he has, legal problems. There's a grand jury that's been convened in Maryland to look into allegations of mortgage fraud against him. Also, Letitia James has the same problem for declaring, you know, a secondary resident as their primary residence and getting favourable loan terms. That's live, and that carries, jail terms of up to 30 years for the two of them. So I think Schiff's got some legal problems, and he's blustering. He's got Abby Lowell as his lawyer, who, of course, was Hunter Biden's lawyer and is now suing Hunter Biden.
I know. As Hannity said there in that clip, wasn't it a whistleblower that triggered impeachment one? And we learned later that that was a fake whistleblower. It was hearsay. It was made up. That led to the first impeachment of President Trump in 2019. And then in this case, we have a real whistleblower in the room with Adam Schiff, and reports that to President Trump's FBI, and that whistleblower is blotted out by the deep state, blotted out by Rod Rosenstein. Like she said there, they had the opportunity to enforce the law, not to play politics, not to play the game the way the Democrats play it, to just enforce the rules as everybody understands them. And the Democrats, they play this game. They went after Jeff Sessions right away. If you'll remember, he sat at a table with Vladimir Putin at some conference with hundreds of other world leaders. So he had to recuse himself from the Russiagate story altogether. Then they put in Rod Rubber Stamp Rosenstein, and he had to be put in there because he was the only one Trump could get through that would get approval from the Democrats. And Rosenstein, they're all there to protect the institution. And in doing that, they're destroying it. No one has any faith in these institutions, in this system, because you see all of these people just flout the rules and get away with it over and over again. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I'll be your guest host on today's show, as Mr. Fleury has said in recent programs, with the college semester starting up. It's been very busy here at headquarters, so I'm grateful for the opportunity to take today's show, as he's got quite a big class load today. I think he's got three lectures, so hopefully he'll be back on the show for you tomorrow. A lot of this, as I was going through it, just thinking about Pam Bondi, and again, she might be pretty pro-Trump, but she's like so many of them, they're a creature of the state. She's been in that position, in that job as a lawyer for decades. And you see, you go back to the one position when it came to Trump 2.0, the second administration, and a lot of people were getting through. There was, of course, a lot of controversy with a lot of them, but the one that they successfully took out was Matt Gaetz. And he was going to be the attorney general. And I just don't think it would have taken as long as it is to get some of this stuff sorted out. And like, I'll play some of the clips. You could say the statute of limitations has expired on these things. There are a lot of avenues to go about it where they say, well, it's actually, some of these crimes are so bad, it's 10 or 15 years. So you find whatever law you have to and get it taken care of. And I just, you look back at this and I think, well, they probably knew Matt Gaetz would have done that right away, that he wasn't going to be slow about doing this. And you look at just how Kash Patel and Dan Bongino have to, I don't know what they're trying to maneuver around to get people to do something. Sundance said, this is just a bunch of I told you so moments, because we knew this was going on. We knew it when it was happening in 2017 and 18. Well, it was Devin Nunes. They're all part of that Gang of Eight, and they get briefed on intelligence matters, and they have to go into the skiff. Hopefully I won't confuse that with Schiff, where they're in this enclosed space. You can't bring your phone. You can't photocopy the documents. You just read them. And then each of them are presented with the same documents, and then you go out, and they start doing the rounds on TV, and Schiff is saying all of these things, and the Republicans are shaking their heads. I think Trey Gowdy was maybe on it too. He said, well, what's he reading? And against them, you think, well, why aren't they blowing the whistle more? and just outright saying, okay, if he's going to be talking about that stuff, I'll tell you what we read. And let them go after you for that, but you just speak what the truth is. These investigations, as we know now, this is the cover-up. When you have the FBI investigate it, when there's a special counsel, that's the cover-up. Because they can just delay and buy time. Well, we can't comment on an active investigation. Well, why is it taking so long? Can't comment on an active investigation. 3-4 years later, statute of limitations, we're not going to prosecute that individual. And you see why people have just had enough. And we have, it's a miraculous era that we are in right now when this stuff is being revealed and exposed. You look at how powerful, I'll comment on it in a little bit, how powerful the radical left was just a couple of years ago to see this shift, to see, you know, all of these documents coming out that verify everything that we were saying. And it's not like what we were saying 6, 7, 8 years ago was without merit. There was plenty of evidence then to go and do it. And now there's even more. In America Under Attack, Mr. Fleury talks or writes, prophecies in Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14 reveal why God is saving America through Jeroboam. America is the superpower of these three nations, America, Britain, and Judah or Israel, and their peoples. God is not going to allow Mr. Obama and the radical left to blot out the name of Israel. He will expose this conspiracy so the world can see the truth. And God, and he's having to do this because it's so hard to get human beings, to get men to expose evil, to get men to hold somebody accountable. Mr. Fleury writes, America's temporary resurgence gives these three nations and their peoples one last chance to repent. But that window will remain open only for a few short years or less. Soon we will face consequences for not heeding God's warning. And it's a message for everyone, not just the deep state, not the bad guys there that they're held accountable, but how we respond to it. You look at the timing coming up to next year, 40 years since the death of Mr. Armstrong, 2026, there's the 250-year anniversary for the United States. America's planning a big, or President Trump's planning a big celebration for that. You've got 10 years since the Jeroboam era began. And then, as we'll cover in some of these clips, there's this statute of limitations for when these leaks and these crimes are done with malicious intent. They're saying that it can actually last for 10 years. So if these are happening in towards the end of 2016, that means you've got a little over a year to hold these people accountable. But again, it will be a miracle to see that happen. Where we are is miraculous when you look at July of 2024. This is a clip from Jonathan Turley, again, talking about just the intensity of these crimes that Schiff committed. And again, you've got a whistleblower in the room, a firsthand account of what was going on. And you corroborate that with the media leaks and what Schiff was saying. We've got a whole montage that will play for you of that. And it all adds up. This is clip 13.
Leaking classified information, that's a potentially very serious charge, is it not?
It doesn't get much more serious than that. The chairman of the House Intel Committee doesn't have declassification authority over these types of documents. They are made available to Congress under very tightly controlled rules. This has been a source of tension for years. And members of both parties have gone out of their way to assure that this material would be closely held and not weaponized. Schiff was viewed as one of the most political chairs of that committee in its history. And this is a truly chilling account, if true. Now, when I first read it, frankly, I was taken aback because it's perfectly moronic to commit such a felony with a planning conference meeting with staff. That's not usually how things are leaked in Washington, D.C.
Let's assume for a moment that it's true, Professor. What kind of punishment follows for leaking classified information?
Well, this is a very significant punishment. You can have, in addition to having multiple counts, you can easily go 10 years in terms of a sentence, if not more, depending on the circumstances and the number of violations. Each of these leaks is an individual violation. Each of these documents would likely be charged as a violation. That type of count stacking is precisely what Mueller and others did. Remember, these are these are very similar to the types of claims made against Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago, that he removed material and improperly stored them. There were also allegations that he might have revealed them to third parties. But this is much more serious in one sense. Trump was accused of negligence in most of these counts. This would be a premeditated criminal act to release classified information to damage one's political opponents.
I think that now is the point where I'm supposed to, if I've learned my newscasting correctly, I think now is when you say the walls are closing in.
He's learning. The walls are closing in. The walls are closing in on Adam Schiff, as was brought out in the opener. There's the mortgage fraud that he's guilty of, or that he's being tried for. And now there's this that he really should have been put in jail for 5, 6, 7 years ago. But you've got they give you the blueprint of how it works every time. When they go after President Trump for it, we make this point all the time on the show. When they go after President Trump, just turn the tables right back on them. And I guarantee if you use their tactic, that's the evidence, is the way that they do it. That's all the evidence you really need to open an investigation, is them saying it against Donald Trump, making something up out of thin air. Okay, well, why would you be saying that? Maybe we should start investigating you for that, and you will find, you will see it. You'll see the rot once you start digging. And to think, though, that these people in the Trump administration, the first one, knew about it. Well, maybe you could argue, and this is probably what Schiff was, this was his legal argument, was there's this rule that, something about free speech for congressmen and that they're able to talk about. I don't know what it was. So they're speculating that that's why he believed he could do that. But again, that's his cover for something he knew was wrong. Because you can bet, and I guarantee you, if Devin Nunes or any of them were doing what Schiff was doing, even just thinking about leaking, if you took the presidential napkins from the White House, there would be 50 lawyers on your doorstep. They would do it to a Republican. But you can't get any of these men to say, well, we don't want to get too political with it. And Donald Trump, like he said, he's learned his lesson in many ways. That 4 years, that pause there where he lost, or where the election was stolen in 2020, where he was out, I mean, he learned a lot. And you think, you go back to it, General Flynn makes this point a lot. We'd already be done. 2024 and he'd be out. He would have done his 8 years and he wouldn't have known what was going on. Chris Wray would still be there. You'd have all of those deep staters still in his administration. You see God working so much of this out in ways where it just doesn't, there are moments where it's like, how could this possibly happen? How could this possibly be undone or be exposed? One more clip here. Well, I've got quite a few more clips here on this subject. This is Fox Business talking about this scandal, clip 10.
One of the major things I think that is different from what this story has been doing the last few years with just bubbling up is the fact that the FBI unclassified the 302 document from the FBI. So now there's real proof that Congress can see. They've obviously developed, they already delivered it last night or yesterday afternoon to Congress. They can actually see the research, even though some of it's redacted. Here's what I'm watching, the number one thing. What is Chuck Grassley going to do? He is a huge supporter of whistleblowers. He has been after Schiff and what his, in his leaking potential since 2020. He's chair of the Judiciary Committee. And how is he going to investigate or hold Schiff responsible? I think that's where the real power is right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. And also Pam Bondi and Cash Patel. We need Pam Bondi to actually pursue prosecutions here. This story ripped the country apart. Well, it's shocking because all it was always about was holding on to their grip on power. Jerry, it was all about power. They just did not want to lose their powerful positions. When Trump came in and changed all these roles, and in particular, Adam Schiff wanted to be the director of the CIA. Right. Now John Ratcliffe is that person.
It could have been Adam Schiff. Can you imagine had Hillary won? Mr. Fleury makes that point. It would have been the end of our constitutional republic. If you see these liars in positions of power, we were so close to the end of the republic. I'll read some quotes, a few more from America Under Attack. Go back and review that in light of these stories. There's one quote in there where Mr. Fleury says, these people, they lie as a way of life. I'll play the clip if I have time. I'll get to it. But just about Chuck Schumer and this imaginary family that he's been referring to for the last 25 years. Sometimes you make up the prototypical voter. Well, here's what my constituency is like. But he goes into all of this detail about these people that he says he speaks with, and they're not real. They just live in this bubble that they've created for themselves, and they lie as a way of life. Another clip here talking about the statute of limitations. I think this is more from John Solomon, clip 14.
I want to remind people, most classified information statutes have a five-year statute of limitations, but there is a provision that extends it to 10 years if it's willing and knowing. And there is some pretty clear evidence of a strong apparatus put in place to make these leaks occur, according to the FBI documents. I think a grand jury could go back and try to compel testimony and find out if it rises to the level of criminality. Tomorrow, though, I think we're going to take people on a new destination, which is how often did the FBI get blocked in trying to investigate Hillary Clinton corruption at the Clinton Foundation? You're going to be shocked by the answer.
I mean, they're moving on to the next thing, like he says there at the end, but you want to go back and get this sorted out. Of course it was a criminal conspiracy. They talk about Trump loading up the documents in the boxes as though that was some nefarious plot. And then you look at the pictures of what's stacked in there, and you're like, if at the very worst, it was just done on accident. They're packing everything up. But you look at here what Adam Schiff is doing, and they're colluding. They're conspiring to break the law. And like Miranda Devine said, they have him here cold. Eric Swalwell, all of them, he got exposed for being compromised by Fang Fang, the Chinese spy. And he got kicked off of the security committee. I mean, that at least got him removed, but Schiff stayed on it. Again, the miracle of watching how strong the radical left was, and now it's being silenced and exposed. You wonder how a lot of these guys just kind of quaking at having to deal with this. You look at how they're lawyering up and the lawyers that they're getting. That affliction was so strong. And to see it go from where it was to what we're witnessing now, I mean, that is miraculous. America Under Attack. This is talking about the dirty dossier. Mr. Fleury says, so they knew the dossier was fraudulent and that the entire spying operation was based on it. John Ratcliffe said he briefed Representative Adam Schiff on these exact facts and told him the evidence went all the way up to Obama. Schiff, a radical leftist, immediately went out and publicly said that Trump colluded with Russia and that he had evidence of it. That is the way leftists routinely lie. They are brazen like demons, and virtually nobody holds them accountable. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You have to see the spiritual dimension of what we're dealing with, and that's probably why so many of them are weak, as they don't see and realize just how evil these people are, what they're dealing with. I mean, even watching that Chuck Schumer clip, I thought, well, you know, maybe it's a real family and he's trying to protect their identities. No, they're just brazen liars. They don't care. You can't give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this stuff. They're brazen liars. A few details about this Schiff story. This is from Just the News. And it talks about the 302 interview, and that's when the FBI goes and they talk to the whistleblower and they write the 302, and that's their summary of the interview with that individual. And this is from a Democrat. The whistleblower is a Democrat. They worked under Adam Schiff. They said the leaking of classified, or considered the classified leaking to be unethical. This is the whistleblower, illegal and treasonous, but was told not to worry about it because Schiff believed he would be spared prosecution under the Constitution's speech and debate clause. No publicly disclosed opinion from the AG or the Solicitor General can be found making that determination as a matter of law. So they had him. They had him cold. It's Schiff's excuse doesn't hold up. There's no legal justification for it. They have him here. They have the whistleblower. They have the evidence in the media. And Rod Rosenstein, would have been Comey was still the FBI director, I think, until March or April of 2017. I don't know the exact months. They just say early 2017. Later it says, when working in this capacity, the staffer's name was called to an all-staff meeting by Adam Schiff, the interview report says. In this meeting, Schiff stated the group would leak classified information, which was derogatory to President Trump of the United States, which was derogatory to the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Schiff stated the information would be used to indict President Trump. He got his way. It's a conspiracy. It's a criminal conspiracy, the strategic leaking, and all of them talking to their sources. And there's all of these, it's exactly like the Steele dossier. It just comes from all of these different sources, all working for Schiff, and it goes to the media, and the media says, we've got a corroborating source here. Well, this other person's telling me this here. Well, now the FBI is looking into it. Treasonous conspiracy. Later on in this article, I talk about the same staffer. He's had four meetings with the FBI, and I think one as recently as 2023. Again, that's under Biden. That's Merrick Garland. He of course, was not going to do anything about it. They knew all of these details 2 years ago. The whistleblower also specifically pointed to Representative Eric Swalwell as a likely source of classified leaks, the memo state. Punishment for duty to law instead. Oh, sorry, that's a heading. So you've got Swalwell, you've got Adam Schiff doing exactly what we know they were doing. Says the whistleblower was interviewed twice in 2017 and at least four times over 6 years about the alleged Schiff leaks. But Justice Department prosecutors declined to move forward, according to the memos. Again, why isn't the law being enforced? Listen to this montage. We played this for you a couple years ago. We put this together. It's just Adam Schiff in the media talking about the evidence that he'd seen. I think this montage, I think Glenn Beck played it on one of his programs a couple years ago, but it's a bit long. This, I think it's about 3 minutes, but this is, again, Schiff saying that he's seen the evidence that doesn't exist and then lying about what he'd seen so that he could get an indictment of the President of the United States, clip three.
All you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think...
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation. So,
there has been a report from CNN that Wednesday night that the FBI was looking into collusion with the Russians in the Trump campaign in terms of spreading information about Hillary Clinton's campaign. Do you have any information to back that up?
I'm not sure that I can comment on that. I can say that I think that the investigation that the director talked about at our Monday hearing is justified. I think there is a sufficient basis for that investigation, not to only to have been initiated, but for it to continue at this point. And I don't have a concern with other members characterizing the evidence as they have. And many of them have said they think there's no evidence of collusion. My disagreement with those members is I don't think that's accurate, okay. And I feel an obligation to say so. So they can call it a fishing expedition. They can call it a witch hunt. It's all an aligned message with the White House. But nonetheless, real evidence is coming forward that just can't be ignored.
So we do know a lot more. I think the claims that there was no evidence of collusion have long since fallen away. The question now is, what is the quantum of proof here?
That Christopher Steele may have found out, even before our own intelligence agencies, that the Russians were, in fact, aiming to help Donald Trump in the election. That has now been borne out by ample evidence.
I think you see the most palpable evidence of a collusion in terms of violating the Logan Act.
Look, I don't think you can seriously argue that the Russians weren't trying to help Trump and hurt Clinton, as well as sow discord in the United States. The evidence is quite overwhelming on this. It was the early conclusion of the intelligence community, but that's only been furthered by all of the evidence we've seen in our investigation and
put out a statement and a report basically saying that they found no evidence of collusion between the Trump team and the Russian government. Have Democrats found any evidence of collusion?
Yes, we have.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
That it is very possible that the best evidence is yet to come. But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion.
George, there's ample evidence of collusion of the campaign and its...
The Senate Intel Chairman also said at this point, no evidence of collusion at this point. Have you seen, do you have direct evidence of collusion with Russia?
Well, I think there is direct evidence. While there is abundant evidence of collusion, but as I've said along, there's plenty of evidence of collusion.
And you've said on this show and others that there is direct evidence of collusion. Were you wrong about that now that you've seen the summary of the Tesla Council's report?
No, because I was saying no collusion.
Well, what's your evidence? You've been saying that on TV for years.
Well, I will tell you, and I've also been saying, as you know, that the evidence is in plain sight.
It's amazing to me that we went all of those years, and some of those media pundits and they're on left-wing shows are actually asking him, well, not a tough question, a pretty basic question. What is the evidence? And there's no follow-up with this now because they're part of it. They have to be part of it. Where's the indictment? Why aren't they screaming for an indictment of Adam Schiff, who got on their show and lied to their face? You look at this, well, this is a quote from Mr. Gerald Flurry, March 2021. Why I still believe Donald Trump is coming back. He writes, the radical left has a track record of cheating, stealing, and lying. They lie as a way of life. Anyone who acts that way shows that their father is the devil. This is strong, strong content, but it's the truth. Without this truth, you can't hold these people accountable. You can't see it. You can't see the evil. The radical left has a track record of cheating, stealing, and lying. They lie as a way of life. Anyone who acts that way shows that their father is the devil. America's Constitution was never intended to work for such people. It was made for immoral and religious people, not people who lie, cheat, steal, and commit violence. I mentioned that Chuck Schumer bit, and it was kind of funny, but it was shocking. Maybe I do have time to play that for you. It's about 3 minutes long. It's from a comedian who, you talk about the left being silenced. These comedians, these late night comedians, they're all far left, but even they're turning on their own leadership. You talk about the momentum shift and, like I've said, the miracle of where we are now, and they're calling their own party out for being these liars. Now, these comedians, and a lot of them, they're very far left, and they're probably going after them because they want these guys to be even more radical. But listen to this clip. And again, it's kind of comical, but it's just shocking to keep up a lie like this as long as they do. Clip 9.
But I actually want to talk less about Chuck Schumer himself and more about two of his favorite people, Joe and Eileen Bailey. They're a couple that throughout Schumer's career, he has talked about a lot.
They're a middle-class couple in Massapequa, which is a suburb on Long Island.
Joe and Eileen Bailey, this middle-class couple, they bought into Reagan Republicanism in 1980. Right. Joe and Eileen are worried about losing their jobs or their friends' jobs.
The Baileys really don't believe in trickle down. They don't believe in a whole lot of government spending, but they believe in tax breaks for kids to go to college.
He's an insurance adjuster and lives in the New York suburbs. By New York standards, he makes $50,000 a year. If he lived in the middle of the country, he'd make $40,000. Wife works in a medical office. She makes about $20,000. She might make $15,000 elsewhere. And you know, I have guided my political life through the Baileys.
The Baileys have guided Chuck Schumer's political life, which is a little weird given they don't exist. Seriously, he invented them. Schumer first introduced the world to the Baileys in his 2007 book, Positively American, Winning Back the Middle Class Majority, One Family at a Time. In it, he mentions the Baileys an astonishing 265 times in 264 pages. But he'd apparently been talking about them for years before the book was published. One of his former spokespeople said he's always asking, what would the Baileys think? And to be fair, Schumer acknowledges that some may find this a little weird.
If you ask my staff, I've been talking about and talking to the Baileys for 15 years. I have conversations with them. One of my staffers once said I had imaginary friends to the press, got me in some trouble. But these people are real, and I respect them, and I really love them, and I care about them.
Okay, sure, but they're literally not real, Chuck. But even if you can understand the potential utility of creating a prototypical voter in your head, this goes way beyond that, because Schumer's given the Baileys an unnecessarily detailed backstory. For instance, he said Joe takes off his cap and sings along with the national anthem before the occasional Islanders game. Okay. And when their daughter Megan, oh yeah, they've got kids by the way, told Eileen a friend was caught cheating on a quiz, Eileen was appalled because lying is not tolerated in the house ever. Also, Eileen apparently helps with the clothing drive at her church, and her father had a prostate cancer scare a few years ago. Again, this is a made-up family. None of these people exist. But wait, I'm still not done. Apparently, Joe Bailey would never have a goatee. They watch Sex and the City and Desperate Housewives, though Joe pretends not to like either show. They think most baseball players probably take steroids, and if they were to ever go out to a Chinese restaurant, they would order Kung Pao chicken. That is a J.R.R. Tolkien level of gratuitous backstory.
You laugh, but you think more about that, and it's, again, like I said, they lie as a way of life. That's what Mr. Fleury says about these leaders. They lie as a way of life. And look how pathetic they appear now when they're being exposed and being revealed. Look how pathetic Obama looks. How pathetic Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff look. You think about, again, where they were, the power that they held. Mr. Fleury in March of 2025. God is silencing Obama. 8 years ago, Barack Obama used the end of his presidency to spring the Russiagate trap, ensuring that Mr. Trump's first term was consumed in legal fights and allowing Obama to cover up his own illegal attempts to steal the 2016 election. This time, he appears toothless. What a momentum shift. What a dramatic change. And again, they'll keep lying. I'm sure when you lie to that degree, it's not likely that it's going to stop. I'm sure Adam Schiff has a whole host of excuses lined up. He's got Hunter Biden's lawyer working for him now. And talk about lying as a way of life. Mr. Fleury spent the program yesterday talking about this story in D.C. about crime and all of these commentators getting on TV and saying, the stats say there's no crime. What do you mean you feel scared? You're being lied to. You know, no, don't believe you're lying. Scott Jennings said on that show he saw a murder happen in front of him at a train station. It's safe, though. It's 20-year low. Never mind that the FBI was cooking its stats on crime. And you know, maybe violent crime is actually down. Okay, well, what about... I don't know if there's such a thing, if you could phrase it as nonviolent crime, but how many cars just get their windows bashed in and stuff stolen out of them? all sorts of things like that. Some of these commentators, I won't play all of the clips, but even on the left-wing news sites are saying, it's really annoying. You go to CVS, you want an item that costs $3, you've got to get the store clerk over there so that she can unlock the panel that it's behind so they can buy toothpaste. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say, this is the way the nation's capital should be run. And you get all these left-wingers out there saying, this is Trump's trial run for authoritarianism. He actually has a legal argument and case to make for why the federal government should oversee Washington, D.C. There's a bunch of detail about the home rule laws and how that doesn't apply to places like Chicago or other U.S. cities. I mean, every city is gross now. I mean, and there's parts of Oklahoma City. I'm just shocked that nobody does anything to clean up the streets. The drug use that you see just driving by. I mean, it's a relatively normal part of town. You go two streets over and there's the street is lined with drug addicts. But the U.S. Capitol, this is supposed to be the beacon for the world. You go through parts of that city, and again, it's camps, it's tents on the sides of the road. All of the shopping centers are locked up because these gangs of young people roll through there stealing things. And then you look at how these commentators lie about it. Notice this is clip 4 from Nicole Wallace talking about, well, this isn't really the biggest crime problem. The biggest crime problem, and they can't let this one go, is January 6th, clip 4.
Crime is a powerful political issue, but Donald Trump has freed more violent criminals in a shorter amount of time than any American president in our country's history. I mean, he freed and pardoned and commuted the sentences of men and I think a few women who beat cops. So this is not a person who's centered around crime.
Donald Trump is not tough on crime. I mean, the January 6th pardons alone can tell you a lot about that.
They can't get over that. 4 hours with some mayhem, with some rioting, and the only people killed are Trump supporters. All of that against the backdrop of the Summer of Love 6 months earlier. And then you just a leader wants to get in there and say, this is not the way the capital of our great country should be run, and nobody's doing anything about it. In fact, the Democrats want it this way. There's all these reports about just how weak and toothless the laws in D.C. are. Mr. Fleury played the clips yesterday. You can't put any of these people in jail. Or the DA just lets them go. Or the judge just slaps them on the wrist and they're out doing it again. And Trump just says, why is it even a controversial thing? He said it to the reporters. I'm doing this for you. You live here. And you see the images, and they don't exist, apparently, of that young kid who used to work for Elon Musk. And that probably hit Donald Trump pretty hard because you see this picture of this 19-year-old beaten and bloodied on the curb of the U.S. Capitol. Assaulted. Beaten up in front of his girlfriend. Because there are these gangs roaming the streets. And the Democrats, it's like a form of terrorism. They won't do anything about it. They want it to happen. Another one from the crazy haired guy over it at CNN, clip 8.
So crime is real. It is blown out of proportion. People are feeling much more unsafe than maybe they statistically are. But the feeling matters. People deserve to be safe, but they also deserve to feel safe. And I think it is true that Democrats have sometimes ignored or lectured people holding a spreadsheet of statistics. That said, I think it's really important to be clear about what is going on here. And a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes.
I don't even know why I played some of those clips, but I meant to play this other one of the same guy, and he's talking about the real crime problem in the United States. No, just listen to these people and think about those quotes I read from Mr. Fleury.
This is clip 7.
We can't ignore what he is actually trying to do here, which is weaponize this fear of not just this city, but all cities. He can't get Chicago out of his mouth. He's not trying to intervene in the mayoral race in New York. And he is doing this to distract us from the fact that right now a crime family is atop the White House. Right now, he is running crypto schemes. He is running policy to do the upward redistribution of wealth that you were just criticizing to enrich his billionaire cronies and donors. So I think we have to have a sense of proportion. The Republic is being stolen. This is the big crime story. And he is using a very comparatively smaller crime story. And see, I'm talking about both. We can talk about both. But he's using the one to do the other. Right. He's using the small crime story to entrench the big crime story in which he, a convicted felon, is the criminal.
I don't know how. I think that show is like 3 hours long in the morning. It's the crime family in the White House. That's the real problem. Again, it's 10 years of this. Mr. Fleury writes, March 2020. Trumpet magazine, America has been fundamentally transformed. Adam Schiff's on the cover of that magazine. America's current president, Donald Trump, is fighting back against that radicalism and having some success. Perhaps the most important is the way he is exposing the crimes and evils of the radical left. Because of the progress he is making, many people believe that the danger is past and the nation is heading in a new direction. But sadly, this will not change the country's direction. The only thing that would do that is repentance before God, and that is not happening. I mean, it is easy, and you should get frustrated for there not being accountability, for people not, the law not being upheld. But we also each, the only thing we can control is ourselves and looking at ourselves and the changes that we need to make in response to this craziness that we're seeing in our country. Mr. Fleury says, the resurgence in America today is causing some people to grow complacent. That is a grave mistake. This temporary revival is just God giving people one last chance to repent, and that includes religious people. All this is prophesied in your Bible, but to understand it, you have to study it. If you do, then events in America will begin to make sense. Even more, you will be able to see where they are leading and how short our time really is. I wanted to conclude the program with talking a little bit about Europe and Germany and their rise in defense manufacturing, because it's easy to be just so obsessed with the United States. And I'm sure people are going to be lulled to sleep, like Mr. Fleury said there, because the economy is improving or there's some accountability here. But you look at Germany and they are in motion. And Mr. Fleury, after all of these big events, it seems he gets right back to watch the Holy Roman Empire. Watch what's happening in Germany. And that's not a story you will read in any conservative website or magazine in the United States outside of the Trumpet. And one of the knock-on effects of Trump's tariffs, and we've talked about the trade deficit and that being lowered, and again, domestically, America has got a lot of good things going for it. We can't lose sight of Bible prophecy, and we can't lose sight of these big events happening. Like I said, Germany is in motion. They're moving. They have the world begging them to move. And in response to these tariffs, they're talking about, well, we need our own defense forces. We can't be reliant on the United States. I noticed, I came across this clip the other day from the Wall Street Journal, talking about how the world is really reliant on America's F-35 fighter jet, the most powerful fighter jet in the world. And Europe wants to create their own now because they don't want to be reliant on the United States. This is clip 17.
This is one of the world's most expensive weapons, the F-35 program, that includes the production and maintenance of thousands of jets over the next five decades, is projected to cost the US more than $2 trillion. It's also a hugely successful export for the US, contributing to America's dominance in the arms trade. But following President Trump's pressure tactics on US allies, some countries have said they are rethinking their reliance on American weapons. This shift, combined with technological advancements and competition from US and European jets, threatens the F-35's dominance.
Buying a fighter jet isn't just about buying a single plane. It's a commitment to a future relationship with the company that sold you it.
F-35s cost around $82 million apiece, depending on the model and number of jets purchased. But on top of that, buyers have to pay Lockheed Martin, the US company that manufactures the jets, for maintenance, pilot training, spare parts, and software updates.
Like he said there, it's not just you buy the plane and you're done. It's a relationship, and Europe doesn't want that relationship with the United States because there might not be a literal kill switch in the F-35, but based on those points that they mentioned there, you're reliant on a U.S. company for parts for that plane to give you the technical information on how to operate it and run it. You need them for maintenance. It's a lifelong subscription when you get one of those planes, and Europe doesn't want to be subscribed to the United States. They want their own fighting force. I was looking at, because guys are interested in airplanes and stuff and weapons, Airbus has a YouTube page for their defense sector and all of these drones and new planes that they're developing. And you look at the comment section on these videos, and people are excited. It's about time Europe does their own thing. We should be proud that Europe is doing this. We don't have to be reliant on the United States for these sorts of things. The upcoming cover of the Trumpet magazine, I don't think this has come out yet, but it says Arming for World War III. And that there's that big plane on there. I think that's probably one of the Airbus planes. They want to make all their own equipment. They don't want to be reliant on the U.S. for anything. It's an article in Politico talking about how the AfD in recent polls, the Alternative for Deutschland, they're the most popular party in Germany right now. And you can read about it in the morning brief, but even Merz, his popularity is, I think it was like 67% disapprove of the way he's running the country right now. I mean, it's like earthquake after political earthquake after political earthquake in Germany. And like Mr. Fleury said, this is where our eyes really need to be locking in. Another article here in the morning brief talking about Germany developing this Sparta mothership drone. I guess the concept is that these larger drones will be like a hive, and you can fly the large drone ship somewhere, and then all the little ones can come out of it and return to it to dock. I haven't researched it a bunch, but what I thought was fascinating was it says in this article, German drone manufacturer Quantum Systems is announcing the development of this new drone named Sparta with production taking place in Ukraine. I mean, they're using Ukraine and that war with Russia as a testing ground for this new technology. It says base drones are unmanned aerial systems capable of transporting and deploying other drones mid-air. The design can significantly extend the range of the carried systems, speed up response times, and so on. And Mr. Fleury, if you haven't watched The Key of David from the beginning of this month, it's titled Germany is Preparing for World War III. And he talks about these swarms of drones and how they're more powerful in some ways than the nuclear bombs, harder to defend against. And he also talks about artificial intelligence, and he mentions how Munich is becoming like a rival to Silicon Valley in the United States. I mean, Germany is in motion. It's moving. Notice this clip. This is from that Key of David program titled Germany is Preparing for World War III, clip 16.
Notice what this expression dark sentences means. Dark sentences comes from the word heda, which means riddle, difficult question, parable, theological word book of the Old Testament. It goes on to say, I believe this expression could also mean difficult technology. Gesenius Hebrew Kelty lexicon defines dark sentences as twisted, involved subtlety, fraud, enigma. To many today, AI is such an enigma. That is enigma, like AI, and certainly would seem to include that, at least. What is going on this earth today as far as continually making greater technology armaments. It's frightening for sure. And it's going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that.
And that is the hope in all of this. You look at that technology and it's terrifying. It's frightening. You read and get familiar with Bible prophecy, and that should evoke a response. And again, the hope is that all of this leads to the return of Jesus Christ, like Mr. Fleury said there at the end of that Key of David program. Well, it's a good fitting clip to end on, end with hope and end with that positive note of where all of these events are leading and just how quickly that time is approaching. If you have any comments for today's show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Request any of the literature that we mentioned on our show. You could send that request to the same email. Subscribe to The Trumpet magazine. If you haven't, it's free. You get a free one-year subscription. We thank you so much for watching the show today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.